time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm hungover right now. So, we had a great night last night. We had an incredible night. Late night.
Wow, that's just really classy, Steve Kerr. You know, think about the children. So classy, Steve Kerr, talking about being hungover. I would never do something like that. Welcome aboard. It's Vanessa and Gallant on a Monday. My voice doesn't sound messed up at all. To my right is Josh Beard, sitting in for Vanessa Richardson, my good buddy from the flagship days.
The Gallant at Night.
Nighttime empire that we ran for, what, a year?
Year and a half, almost 2 years. You sound real rough this morning.
Yeah, man. I know.
Look, since the last time I filled in next to you, I've turned 36. Remember how I told you I was going to play on a softball team?
Yes.
Yeah, remember how I joked that I was going to get injured?
You did.
Almost instantly.
What happened?
I strained my oblique on one of my first at-bats. It was a meet-and-greet batting practice, and okay. I strained my oblique within like five at-bats. And I'm in bad shape. I'm 36. I'm injured. Everything hurts. I'm playing softball. I didn't know there are parts of my toes that could hurt the way they do. And you sound in worse shape than I do right now.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And, you know, yesterday was Father's Day. And I didn't want any of, you know, my dad or my stepdad to hear me make the phone call. Because probably would have sounded even worse yesterday than it does today. How was your Father's Day? Have a good one?
Yeah, it was good. It was relaxing. I thought I was going to play softball. They ended up canceling the games. I thought, there's no better way to celebrate Father's Day than to feel every inch of my body injured. And then hit some dingers. But, no, we had a good time. We had some barbecue, got to swim in the pool, had a good old time, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I hope everybody else out there had a great Father's Day, if you are a dad or you were with your dad. Guys, we had something planned for the first segment, but we had to throw the rundown out. And I'm really shocked that this hasn't been discussed nonstop this morning
right across
the airwaves here in Houston. Because, guys, a player wants out, and I'm a little concerned because I heard that he wants out, and first off, I didn't know who he was, but second off, I also knew that this would be potentially bad for the future of our beloved Houston Rockets.
You knew who he was. Didn't know who he was?
Josh, when you brought up his name today, I had no idea who he was, but he wants out, Josh, and we're talking about Kenyon Martin Jr.
Oh, good old KJ Martin's asking out of the Houston Rockets organization now?
Listen, you got to give him a lot of credit, okay? He's got a lot of stones asking for a trade when I don't know what he does for the Houston Rockets. But you know what? It's 2022. Empowerment, baby.
Yeah, I know. Look, guys, I've thought about this for a while now, and I think this is a really big move for me in my career. I'm actually requesting a trade from ESPN 97.5.
But you don't work here, though.
I think that's completely superfluous information. I want to grow. I feel like I have an international brand. I want to grow my brand, and I feel like I need to be in a bigger market like New York or Los Angeles or Chicago, something like that. Go to one of the ESPN's affiliates there. So I'm officially requesting a trade from ESPN 97.5. Employment status aside,
yes.
I feel like I deserve that chance.
You want to be traded there.
Right.
Are they going to trade to you? Like, how does this...
We'll figure that out.
Okay.
Think of the narcissism it takes to be a role player like KJ Martin and be like, I want a trade. It's like, okay, bye. Shouldn't you learn to play basketball first?
Yeah.
Before you request trades?
Generally, I think you should. But, I mean, this isn't new, right? I mean, when we saw the trade for Christian Wood not too long ago, Marquess Chris, who was a big package in that
huge
piece...
Package.
He's just a big human being, right? So, I mean, a big part, along with Boban, which is like the cool part of the trade for Christian Wood, which enough people are annoyed with the returns. Like, the guy's on his, like, eighth team, and he's 27 years old.
I think Boban and Marquese Chris averaged 11 minutes total per game for the Mavericks, total, combined.
Boban did not ask for a trade, even though Boban is actually a movie star. Marquess Chris, though, apparently had asked for a trade, and guess what? The Rockets granted him that request.
Yeah.
It's 2022, guys, okay? Look, some of you right now, you're rolling your eyes. You're thinking to yourself, hey, we can't have these guys asking out. But no, you don't get it. Empowerment, okay? If you want to be traded, you deserve to say, I want to be traded.
I think if KJ Martin doesn't get his request isn't met, and he's not traded. You know what I would do if I were you, KJ? If you're listening right now, and in all sincerity, I think this is the best advice I could give you. Sit out a year. See how they feel if you just sit out a
just
year.
Just be Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. Just, oh, you know what? You're not going to trade me? I'm going to sit out a year. See how you do without me. To me, this trade request almost assuredly tells us that the Rockets are going after Paolo Banchero in the draft.
You
right?
think so?
Yeah. I think this means that if for some reason Jabari Smith falls, they would go that way. But I think Paolo Banchero is definitely – because if KJ Martin's like, nah, I want out, that means he's about to get like 3.7 minutes per game because they're going to draft Paolo and he's going to run the four.
Oh, okay.
Or like a small ball five.
I figured he asked out because he has a delusional sense of self.
It's also that too. It's definitely for sure like at minimum 50% of it is that too.
Well, speaking of guys who have asked out of their, you know, teams – remember when Deshaun Watson did that? Guess what, guys? It took us 8 minutes to get to Deshaun Watson today. You didn't think that was coming, did you? So Kim Ogg is a very big part of the Houston, legal scene. And she was on with Mike Meltzer, my old buddy, on a podcast that was aired on Saturday. Mike actually texted me about it, and I'm glad that it's gotten a little blowing up. But she had some interesting things to say. And I think when we continuously talk about the Deshaun Watson conversation, most people, I think, were all like, oh, my God, there's 26, at least right now, civil suits that
wait
are underway
couple,
against
a couple
him.
Days, yeah. Wait a couple days. That'll change.
Exactly. The numbers increasingly. Everyone seems to think that Deshaun Watson did something. But there's a lot of people, too, that said, okay, well, a grand jury didn't indict Deshaun Watson. And because they didn't indict Deshaun Watson, then that means that the guy didn't do anything. Well, Kim Ogg was on Mike Meltzer's podcast on Saturday, and at the very end of the podcast, she wanted to clear some things up because I guess she's been getting annoyed with that part of the conversation about Watson's cases.
We respect our justice process. I love the law. It's designed to get to the truth. That's really what people want. I don't think as a culture we can live with injustice. Remember, a grand jury no bill is not an exoneration. People, even when they clear the criminal justice system, often face accountability and repercussions in other parts of our legal system. And so I think to determine whether justice was done in this case, you're going to have to wait and see how it all comes out on the civil side of things, and then through the NFL on the administrative side of things. And people will then determine whether that's justice. As you know, Houston fans, we're a very loyal lot, and we've got teams to support. And I think our eye is on the ball, what the Texans are going to be doing, more than what Mr. Watson's going to be doing.
That is Kim Ogg, the Harris County District Attorney.
Sorry. It was hard for me to listen to the rest of it. I did my best, but she comes out hot with, I love the law. And it just reminded me of, from Anchorman, I love Lamp. I'm just like, I love law. I'm just going to walk around and be like, I love law. I love legal and I love law.
As she continued talking to, yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting how she's like shifting the focus over to the Texans. I don't think anyone actually feels that way. Yeah, we're all like looking forward to see what the Texans do next. No, I think a lot of us are more curious as to what the hell's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And this weekend, Josh, as we continue to take a look, I guess, at a Saturday news dump, Mark Maskey of the Washington Post reported the NFL is going to argue Watson should receive a significant suspension and that the league will probably ask for a one-year banishment, which I have felt over the course of the last couple of weeks that this is going to happen. It just seems like it makes a lot of sense given that Trevor Bauer got suspended for, 2 years from baseball? Yep. Deshaun Watson, no matter what he did, is just involved in all of this. The NFL, it's all about optics. They don't want to have this guy playing because every single time he goes back to pass and every single time there's an ISO shot of him on the sideline, there will be, at least based off of, some of the broadcasters who have some stones out there, someone like Al Michaels, someone that's at the top of the game, Joe Buck, they're going to bring up, like, hey, like, This guy's under investigation for, and what's the number going to be at a couple of months from now?
It's one thing for us to continue talk. I mean, look, you can't do sports media. You can't be in the sports media. You can't do sports radio. You can't do TV shows without the Deshaun Watson stuff coming up, because there's new news coming out at least once a week, twice a week sometimes. We're getting updates. It's either additional women who are jumping into the lawsuit, mm-hmm. or Rusty Harden's coming out and running his mouth and saying dumb things. Like, there's so much stuff that keeps popping up that this is the quietest part of the year, right? This is where it's one thing for us to sit here and talk about it day in and day out. But, you know, we're small potatoes when it comes to national NFL broadcasts. And if you're week in, week out on national broadcasts, they have to continually bring it. The NFL doesn't want those kinds of optics. This can be hidden. All of this can be hidden. NFL broadcasts, he can't hide behind those.
And I'm really curious about what any sports conversation is going to be once the NBA draft is done, once the NBA finals are done. They already are, of course. Once the NHL Stanley Cup finals are done, when it's just baseball.
Yeah.
This is going to be beaten to death. Yes. They will probably finally realize, you know what, shoot, we got nothing. So let's do a big focus on this. And the NFL doesn't want that. I don't think that a year-long suspension is going to help that all go away or anything like that. But we'll see. Anyway, that's the latest into all things Deshaun Watson, as the Watson turns. Up next, he is Josh Beard, in for it, Vanessa Richardson. I am Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you got some thoughts, 713-780-3776. Who is the angriest athlete in sports? Because I doubt they hold a candle to what I thought was the star of the U.S. Open this past weekend. We'll talk about who that guy is next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We got Josh Beard in for Vanessa Richardson. Josh, do you consider yourself a golf fan?
Oh, the last time I didn't say yes to that question on the airwaves, I got in trouble. So I'm going to hedge my bets and say, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I have been following like the LIV versus PGA drama. So as of right now, I'd say yes. I'm
okay.
A golf fan. Yeah.
I will sometimes watch the majors.
Yeah. Once every 5 years, I think, is a good frequency.
That I try to do it a little more than once every 5 years.
Oh, yeah, probably.
But I I'm not going to act like I'm a golf expert by any means, but this was a very entertaining U.S. Open by all accounts that Matthew Fitzpatrick was able to win. He won it yesterday after poor Will Zalatoris, who, if I'm not mistaken, it was a couple of... Was it the last major? Was it the Masters that he was winning till the very end, and then Scottie Scheffler won? I forget what happened. All I know is this poor guy keeps on coming in second, which just must be an absolute bummer. And he came in second because he missed a birdie putt after Fitzpatrick won. But I started watching this, and you know what, Josh? My favorite person that I saw in this weekend's tournament is not the guy who won it.
Okay.
I think this guy is the biggest star of the weekend. Grayson Murray. Never heard of him before. Sounds like a knockoff, like future Robin on Batman or something like that. Whatever the case, this guy threw a putter in the middle of...
Yes, of course you would like that.
What,
yeah.
What was the frustrating... Well, right. Yeah, I've thrown a club. Who hasn't thrown a club?
You've thrown more than a club. I've seen you throw so many different things.
Things that people don't know from my time at the flagship. One time, because my mouse for my computer stopped working... I was really mad, and I threw the mouse at the trash can. It missed, and it hit the plexiglass that looked in the studio and cracked it.
Yeah.
I basically went right to the boss and told on myself immediately so I wouldn't get in trouble, and they took that out of my paycheck for, like, the next 2 weeks.
And also—
No Christmas gifts were bought that year, children.
And also, because he was mad that he threw the mouse and cracked the window— He also got mad and threw a binder across the room as well.
But that's fine. It's a binder.
You got following a throw with a throw is not a bad plan, though. You already did the damage. You might as well.
I have really bad anger management. There was another time,
too. You're
better
now. You're way better now.
No, it's not. It's not. Thank you for saying that, though. I appreciate it. There was another time with a laptop. It was moving slowly, and then I hit it in the bottom right, and I broke it. I broke the laptop.
Of course, it's a laptop.
Well, I didn't think that would happen.
Did you think this was a laptop from like 1981 that was built with like military grade
yes.
steel?
My hand is never broken when I hit it on things somehow, luckily. So I figured, yeah, the computer's going to be more indestructible than me and my little osteoporosis laden body.
You're stronger than you think though, Paul. You've been hitting the gym.
It's from the Boniva.
That's yeah.
From Sally Field.
Oh, yeah.
There used to be these commercials for Boniva, which is I guess like a drug for osteoporosis, and I always got a kick out of like Sally Field saying, "I take Boniva," and I was just like, "Okay, Sally." Anyway, Grayson Murray not only threw a putter, he also snapped one of his clubs like it was a baseball bat across his knee. Here's how that sounded.
Uphill second shot here at the 10th. And
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh. Goodbye, club.
That's what the U.S. Open can do to you sometimes.
Don't you love this bougie broadcast?
the color. Just ooh.
It's gone. That's it.
I want that with football sometimes. And now Tom Brady is dropping back. He's looking to pass. Ooh, sacked by J.J. Watt.
It's weird. Like they're NPR or something like yeah. that. They're yeah. doing like a podcast on Saturday morning about like how to bake a muffin.
We learned. I love this. I love this from what
Grayson Murray, yes.
I almost said Grayson Allen. Very Grayson Allen-esque.
Grayson Allen-esque.
Something
isn't
with
it?
Grayson's. But I want to see more of this. Like, I'm so tired of this whole professionalism in sports thing.
So you want people going full Happy Gilmore?
Oh, yeah.
Like just punching a guy in the crowd.
We learned how to make.
That's assault.
We learned how to make golf more popular amongst a more general crowd. It's to Happy Gilmore it up. I want the anger. I want the pettiness. Like, I don't want Steph Curry in a press conference going, "We remember," and then hold. I want him to be talking at guys during games. Like, I want to hear these guys crap talking to each other. I want them to be mic'd up.
But the children.
I don't care. I don't care.
But Klay Thompson does. Okay.
Yeah, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. See it in all sports. I'll watch golf if I see a guy throwing a putter every other hole because he gets mad at something that he did instead of trying to be a professional and just walk off just stern faced and angry. I want to see emotion. I want to see passion. I want them to be animated. That's more entertaining for me as the viewer.
I do want to see the emotion, but I also just don't even want to think what's going through that guy's mind after he snapped the club. He's like, "Oh, I did this on national TV. Well, this is going to be embarrassing for a couple of weeks."
But that's only because
after throwing a butter.
Yeah, that's only because of this facade of professionalism that everybody says we have to have when really honestly golf and sports, when it comes down to it, especially for us the viewer, is the entertainment industry.
It's entertaining to watch. However, say you're playing with one of those people, are you not sort of if that guy's throwing a temper tantrum? Have you gone golfing with a friend who's had an absolute crap day?
I think it's hilarious. Yes, I have, and it's so funny.
You would make it worse. You're the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, I'm 100% for sure.
You would just like dig the knife in further.
Yeah.
Hey, remember when you missed that putt? Well, hey, at least you threw your putter further than that putt.
I would have been like, "Dude, did you not take your Boniva this morning? What's going on? Are you okay?"
Listen, golf is one of those sports where you're supposed to show a modicum of decorum. See, look at how fancy I sounded
that.
There.
Even that phrase just irks me.
But
modicum of decorum.
I like that Grayson Murray did this. Also, so Justin Thomas, a shot of his just got stuck in a drain. Essentially on the course. And you would think that if something gets stuck on like a hard piece of, you know, not grass on a course, that you would be allowed to pick the ball up and drop it right next to it without taking a penalty stroke. Apparently that is not the case. Apparently if something lands on a drain in the midst of a golf course, you have to hit it. So Justin Thomas also, like Grayson Murray, was very, very audible as he expressed frustration with this rule.
It's all about distance control, this one. Stop the ground first.
That's so pissed me off because so many other people would lie about being able to hit that, but it's just like, I'm not going to hit it. Like, I'm just trying to be a person.
Yeah, I mean, he okay. I think we need to apologize for that, but the point that he's making is you only get a drop if it's affecting your stance or the line of your swing.
I love how they always try to clean it up too. Well, sorry for the language there.
especially for an Irish guy, like an Irishman. He's like, oh, I think we need to apologize for that. Like, his normal speak is way worse than anything he said.
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things where if it's in English, you can hear the, you know.
The modicum of decorum. Gotta keep the modicum.
I mean for Justin Thomas, because he's an American. We don't need subtitles
true,
for Justin
yeah.
Thomas, like it's Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I have
fair.
To watch Peaky Blinders with subtitles.
The Scottish accent is the one that I have the most difficulty with.
Oh,
that's the one
God.
I need subtitles
yeah.
for. Yeah,
yeah, you ain't kidding.
Yeah,
those
I watched. Have you ever been on the Scottish side of TikTok, Scott Talk?
What? That's
yeah,
a
there's
thing?
A Scottish side of TikTok where it's like there's a bunch of Scottish content creators, and I'm actually on there perusing it, trying to get better at my Scottish accent. It's pretty. They're pretty entertaining.
See,
they're hard to understand.
There's not enough Scottish accent in Braveheart. You know,
no, correct.
It doesn't really feel like super thick because
yeah.
I understand what they're saying, and I don't want to. I want to be just completely in the dark and having to read their facial expressions to see what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like I'm at a bar and it's loud and someone's talking to me and I'm just nodding and saying, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because Mel Gibson's just like, we want freedom.
We want freedom.
But Scott's like, hey, we wanted freedom. And you're like, well, I don't even know what you just said. You want a free beer? Is that what you said?
I don't know what you're saying to me.
I didn't know. That's the other thing they say. Like, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that's how they say I don't know. I don't know. It's
your weird. Last name has 34 syllables. McLaughlin.
That's what I want. We need more Scottish and Irishmen on the PGA and the LIV tour.
Yes.
Because they won't be able to hold on to that modicum of decorum as well as American golfers, and it'll be way more entertaining.
Josh Beard's in for Vanessa Richardson. I am Paul Gallant. It is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5. I have a question, so we're continuing our countdown to the start of the NFL season. Terrell Owens is number 81, and we are 81 days away. Did you actually like Terrell Owens? That is a question that you will get to answer on the other side. I am Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network. I do like them. I love me some PIN, the PIN process, baby. And look, these guys will go around town and they will help you personalize a 5-year plan to help you and your family make real money through real estate. You will travel all across the city of Houston. And you will see some of the neighborhoods that the Passive Investor Network is looking into, and hopefully will end up becoming the next version of the Heights. And you might be thinking to yourself right now, Paul, doesn't this sound like a Ponzi scheme? Paul, I don't have the kind of money at this point in time to make that kind of investment. Well, that's why you want to meet with the folks over at the Passive Investor Network. They'll sit down with you, and again, they personalize the 5-year plan for you. PassiveInvestor.net is where you go. Their famous bus tours, too. Promo code ESPN to go on the next one. Promo code ESPN. PassiveInvestor.net. It's PassiveInvestor.net.
ESPN.
97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Josh Beard's in for Vanessa. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant, Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. And as we continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season and struggle every day more and more to think of something new to talk about, sometimes you just need to let the number of days until the return of football do the talking. So number 81.
Yeah.
The loudest number 81 of all time. It's Terrell Owens.
Yes.
Remember any of this from his time in the NFL?
It's T.O. time, baby. It's yo time, baby. To the house, baby.
I appreciate y'all tuning in. It's a T.O. show right now.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
Hey, I just look like this. Don't get your popcorn ready.
I look good. Dress sweet. Calm down, T.
Who can make a play? I can. Who can make a play? I can.
That guy playing me one-on-one. That's disrespect.
He going to be in trouble all day. It's me. I told you. They hate to love me because I love me some me. I love me some me.
I still say that to my family. When I tell a joke at the house or that doesn't hit, but I think it's hilarious, I'll just blurt out, I love me some me.
Who can make a play?
Yeah, who can? I can make a play.
Did I do that while playing high school football at practice all the time? Yes. Did it get very annoying for everybody around
for
me?
For sure.
Duh. But I loved it. Get your popcorn ready was something that I used to say before every single show that Brian Straw and I did way back in the day. It used to be the last thing I would say. I would just say it in a very weird way, like, get your popcorn ready! Like when I was, you know, fully into being the most annoying person in Houston
you
radio.
You say things in a weird way? No, never.
Yeah.
Never do that.
I did that. That was during the days of me being known as Pauly G.
Ooh,
the Bistro and Pauly G show.
You did do a good job of shedding that Pauly G moniker, though, I feel like.
Yeah, I was sort of like, oh, well, I mean, I still am a man child, but let's just be slightly less of a Jersey Shore man child, okay? It's
GTL.
Progress. Did you like Terrell Owens?
Loved him. Okay. Loved him. I'm a little biased, though.
He was a Cowboy, but that's what I mean, though, because some guys, they don't like Terrell Owens because he played for their team for a little bit of time and then he left. I feel like Eagles fans should love T.O. because of how awesome he played in Super Bowl 39 on a broken leg. But then he did kind of ask out of town, and it was a little awkward that offseason, the way that everything went down after the fact.
Well, and there's always the great soundbite for Dallas fans, like, that's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback. But yeah, I love T.O., man. I think he's one of the greatest wide receivers we've ever had in the game. He's just entertaining to watch from a football standpoint. But then we literally in the last segment just talked about how I want people to, like, I want that animation. I want that passion. And T.O., no, there are very few people in NFL history that have showed more passion and energy and character, or caricature, I guess is a better. Not a lot of
character. Because he is a cartoon.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. So I agree with a lot of what you're saying. But at the same time, I mean, he was an a-hole. Like, the guy was terrible. He was a terrible teammate. And, you know, look, it's not like he was doing terrible things off the field like some other players in the league, like a Tyreek Hill or an Antonio Brown or something like that. But we are talking about one of the all-time selfish players in a sport where you're not supposed to be selfish. And I get it. Look, there is a line to be drawn of like, okay, you should be a little selfish for yourself. You know, this idea of you going out there and putting your body on the line for essentially a corporation. Yes, they're paying you, but there is a limit that there should be drawn.
Right.
But T.O. took that to like an entirely new degree. And while I miss his antics, like I don't miss all of the BS that he brought along with him.
It's difficult for me because I feel like for the most part, by the time he was, you know, he was with the Cowboys later in his career. And by the time he was with Dallas, where I really got to full-on experience T.O., being somebody who grew up in Dallas, somebody who grew up as a Cowboys fan, and I loved watching him play with Tony Romo. I feel like for the most part, most of that selfishness had gotten out of it. He was at his most selfish in Philadelphia.
No doubt.
Like, he was bad in San Francisco, but he hadn't earned that yet, right? By the time he got to Philadelphia and what he was doing with the Eagles, he was starting to earn the right to be that character, to be that star. And he went way too far with it. And I feel like his experiences in Philadelphia, once he got to Dallas, helped him calm down a little bit. Like, he still had his moments, but he wasn't Dez Bryant yelling at teammates on the sideline all the time, right? Like, he for the most part, I feel like, played within the team. So it's hard for me to judge him adequately as a Cowboys fan, knowing what he was and how he was with the Cowboys. I'll love him. Like, I'm always going to be mad at players who are a little bit too selfish, but I don't think he was that way with Dallas.
He took issue with quarterbacks that he didn't think were good enough.
And right.
I think that's rather understandable, considering when he came into the league in the 1996 wide receiver draft class, which, by the way, featured in it Terry Glenn, who passed away, who was a very good wide receiver, Eric Molds, another good wide receiver for Buffalo, Marvin Harrison, Terrell Owens. There's somebody else whose name, Keyshawn Johnson, was taken first overall. That 96 wide receiver class is insane. And T.O. is taken in the third round. And he goes onto this team, and it's Steve Young's the quarterback, and Jerry Rice is the number one wide receiver. Still not quite what the Jerry Rice of old was, but still pretty damn good. Like,
right.
this, he was still like a Pro Bowl caliber receiver every single year at this point, Rice, in his career. It wasn't like the 80s where he's just running away from everybody. So I can you would think someone like that would maybe be a little bit more quiet. Like, but then he leaves and he goes to Philadelphia, and there's a part of me that understands some of the frustrations that he had with Donovan McNabb, especially with that whole story about how McNabb may have been puking during the Super Bowl huddle.
Right.
And a lot of Eagles fans are not the biggest Donovan McNabb fans ever, either, even though, like, you could argue statistically he's their greatest quarterback ever. It's one of those things where there are cases to be made in favor of T.O. being the jackass that he was from time to time. Mm-hmm. But there's another part of me, too, where I feel like you're supposed to keep this stuff in-house. You're supposed to actually, if you're going to have issues with other players on your team, you should keep it private.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't make it into this massive thing that gets out into the open that can potentially destroy an entire season or an entire locker room.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's absolutely fair. It's just I feel like the positives of Terrell Owens outweighed the negatives, right? Like, if Antonio Brown hadn't started doing all the stuff off the field that he was doing and causing all the problems that he was causing, let's just say he's a lighter version of what Antonio Brown has been, where there's definitely some things and you got to put up with some headaches, but he continued to produce on the field at that high level that he was producing. Don't the positives outweigh the negatives of Antonio Brown having him on the team, where, like, let's say he is having the cops called to his house, but he's still putting up 1,700 yards in a season. You're like, oh, well, it sucks. We don't want to deal with it. But also, like, we could win a Super Bowl with him. And that's what T.O. always was, is you, like, Chad Johnson, right? Ocho Cinco. There was a point in his career where the negatives outweighed the positives.
Oh, yeah. He got cut in the middle of a Hard knock season, right? Because there was a domestic violence incident with his wife.
Right, exactly. The domestic violence stuff, too. But, like, even the character, it was too much. Brandon Marshall, the negatives of his character and who he was outweighed the positives. Terrell Owens was just so dominant for so long. The positives of what he brought you on the football field always outweighed the negatives of his personality.
Marshall's a good comp.
Yeah.
Because Marshall also, there's enough with Marshall where you always felt, okay, there's definitely something going on. And Marshall's been very, like, outspoken, yeah, in terms of, like, mental health awareness and stuff like that. And T.O.'s one where I don't know if T.O. ever, like, really, at least publicly, like, addressed it. But I remember there was one of those press conferences, too, where I think, like, his assistant was talking about, like, some of the things that he was going through.
Yeah.
And you could say, okay, well, that was why he was the way that he was. I do think, though, that, you know, you have to be unselfish in a couple of points in your career. You can't just be this guy that's doing this every single week. But I don't know. I mean, we're talking a little bit earlier about how I'm forgetting his name already. Kenyon Martin Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Is demanding a trade from the Houston Rockets. Like, TOs have set this up for guys who are nowhere close to TO's caliber to do stuff like
this. That's a fair point. And we talked about this before the show. Like, what is the breaking point of being, you know, what's the breaking point of being able to request a trade? But I think another good question, too, is what's the breaking point of being able to act like that? Like, being able to, like,
yeah,
how good do you have to be able to act like T.O. and get away with it? By the way,
Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver.
It's
a good building block.
Well, T.O.'s still catching tutties in the Fan Control Football League from Johnny Manziel. Like,
did you just say tutties?
Yeah, tutties. I said that specifically for you, and you instantly took the bait.
Yeah.
You're so mad at that right now.
Tutties. Are you serious?
Yeah, those tutties, baby.
On God, I can't even look at you right now.
All right, fam.
That was mid.
I'm 100 push MP.
Okay. Well, it's Vanessa and Gallant. We've gone very, very Gen Z in the last couple of seconds. Josh Beard is sitting in for Vanessa Richardson. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Where is that limit as far as being a super talented person? And also, who are the best trash talkers in sports? Draymond Green has been just drive-bying the entire internet. Kevin Durant, Ja Morant, he's going after everybody. Is anyone on his level as far as being that yapper? We'll talk about that next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who's the best trash talker in sports? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Draymond Green's been at it as his now world champion Golden State Warriors get to bask in the afterglow of the title, which they took in 6 games from the Boston Celtics. First off, you have Draymond Green retweeting this from the Bleacher Report. Ja speaks on Clay calling out Jaren Jackson Jr. The Grizzlies taking up property in some Warriors' heads. Eyeball. What a stupid what a stupid first off summary of this tweet. Ja Morant tweeted, got a lot of real estate, laughing. Draymond retweets this saying, we traded that real estate in Ja Morant. The property value was higher in Boston.
Yeah.
Boom, roasted. That's pretty vicious. Draymond Green also mocked Kevin Durant. Durant, I guess during game one of the Celtics and the Warriors, when the Celtics had that 40-17 fourth quarter, said, like, this is some real high-quality basketball. So Draymond tweeted the exact same thing out after the championship was won. So Draymond versus Kevin Durant continues to be a bit of a passive-aggressive thing.
Yeah, I want to get to the point. This kind of ties in with what we were talking about earlier with more animation from athletes in general. I want more trash talk from these guys. And I don't want, like, I want not necessarily no-holds-barred trash talk, but I want them to feel like they can be a little bit more open with it, because this kind of stuff is really, really entertaining, especially on social media. Like, I want to see these guys going after each other.
Why do you think it's not more of a thing? Is it because people don't want to be wrong when they're talking trash or look bad, have the other shoe drop, if you will?
I think it's a PR thing. I think it's they're afraid of what it's going to do, what they're going to look like. They don't want to be I think a lot of guys don't want to be labeled as the problem guy. They don't want to. PR is totally different. We all know this here. PR is totally different in professional sports than it used to be. We hear these stories from some of these OGs who've been doing it a long time, talking about how they used to, whenever they were reporting on these teams, they would hang out and go party with these guys. Well, now, like, we only get very limited access whenever we're allowed to get very limited access.
Plus,
right?
They live in a different world, right, than they used to.
Well, they have to be more careful. That's why we don't get the access that the old guys used to get. Old guys. Anyway, and I'm 36, so whatever. I'm right there with you. I'm coming up. It's fine. Anyway, I'm going to stop putting my foot in my
mouth. They love you.
Yeah, I'm really winning some about that trade request. Anyway, we don't get access because it's a totally different world. There's social media all over the place. Any little tiny slip up they have is going to be publicized because the relationship isn't the same. People want to be the first. They want to get the news out there first. They don't care about it, whether it's to the detriment of the player or not. So now the last thing these players want to do is put something out there that's going to be newsworthy or noteworthy, and they don't want to be the problem kid for a team. And these guys are taught to be more professional nowadays than they used to be. Like, they handle media completely differently. And so this is why it's kind of refreshing to see Draymond, through his podcast and through his social media, kind of talk a little bit of crap. But, you know, I don't want to see the Warriors in their pettiness after they win a championship. It's great. It's fun to see. I want to see the Warriors getting petty all throughout the season. Like, they were holding grudges all throughout the entire season, and they didn't let it loose until the very end whenever they beat the Celtics. I want to see that kind of stuff all the way through.
It looks bad, though, when it blows up in your face.
It does.
See, like,
does,
with Ja Morant, for example. It's one of those things where if you are going to do it, you better win. And if you don't, then you look really, really bad. I think Joel Embiid has the ability to talk a lot of trash, and I think that he is very much mellowed out in the last 4 to 5 years, probably because he has been humbled in the playoffs as many times as he has. But yeah, I think as far as pound for pound trash talkers in basketball, I think if Joel Embiid is completely unfiltered, I feel like he would be pretty vicious.
Agreed.
But you saw it in those post-game press conferences where he's being asked about James Harden. Instead of saying, like, yeah, James Harden got fat, he said, this isn't the same James Harden from Houston.
Yep.
I think that 5 years ago, Joel Embiid would have said something completely different there.
Totally agree. You know who I would love to see in the era of social media and, like,
who dat?
Social media branding? Obviously, he could still do that because he's not that over the hill yet. I mean, he's out of the league, but he's not that over the hill. Tim Duncan. I've heard stories of Tim Duncan's trash talk. Have you ever heard Kevin Garnett talk about Tim Duncan's trash talk?
He just seems so boring. I wouldn't expect him to have it. Like, Garnett is someone who I would want to hear at all times. Kevin, he's a totally unhinged person on the court.
If you guys have never seen this, do yourself a favor today and go watch KG talking about Tim Duncan's trash talk. He said it was some of the most disheartening trash talk he would ever get. Because what Tim Duncan would do is he would tell him, he's like, I'm going to go to my left and I'm going to lay it in right over you. And then he'd do that exact thing. And KG would be like, he'd just pat you on the butt and be like, you got it next time, kid. And, like, I mean, just like, full on I'm your daddy demoralizing trash talk, where he would tell you what he was going to do, he would do it, And then he would act like you never had a chance and you're not even on his level, which I would love to see. That's like that passive aggressive, very waspy kind of trash talk. I'd love to see that on social media today. I would love for Tim Duncan to be like active on social in the NBA, actively in the NBA talking trash.
Larry Bird did that.
Yeah.
The fictionalized version of Larry Bird on Winning Time is perhaps my favorite fictionalized version of an athlete ever, where he's just got a bad attitude. He's walking around with like a vest. He's drinking. He's got like a Bud Heavy can, but there's no Bud Heavy in it. It's just like so he can spit out his dip. And he's walking around and basically telling people to bleep off, bleep off, bleep this, bleep that. But when he played, he did the same thing. You'd tell people where he was going to go, yeah. And he would be very mean about it. It sounds like the way that Duncan did it, though, was like patronizing at the end, which maybe makes it a little bit more painful.
I think so. I think the patronizing making you feel like, especially the kid, it's like KG and Tim Duncan are pretty much the same age. If you're calling another adult grown man who's around the same age as you kid, like it's one thing if he was like 35 and KG was 23 and new in the league. No, that's not what it was. If you're calling Kevin Garnett kid like 10 years into his NBA career, That's patronizing, it's demoralizing, and it's hurtful. And that's why I think that's some of the best kind of trash talk, because that's smart trash talk. That's messing with somebody long term.
You know you have the opportunity to talk some trash right now, right?
Yeah, I always have the opportunity to talk trash. That's what you don't realize.
No, I mean with what happened in the College World Series this weekend. And I know Sean Mapes behind the glass, big Texas guy.
Yeah.
I'm maybe the biggest Texas baseball fan that there is. Texas A&M took down Texas in the College World Series, which is saying something because they I guess had never played each other in the College World Series going
Correct.
All the way back to 1904. Texas, 6 national titles. Texas A&M hadn't won a College World Series game in 29 years, and that changed yesterday. What was the final score? 10-5?
10-5. Yeah, 10-5. It was a really good game. I wasn't going to bring it up. I didn't want to hurt Sean's feelings. I know that he's a big Longhorn fan. I didn't really want to mess with him. Also, it wasn't really that big of a game. It was just another...
What do you mean by that? It's the College World Series.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was big in the sense that it was a College World Series game, but it was just another game. Like, we lost to Oklahoma. That made sense, right? Oklahoma's a good team. And so, making it back up, you know, now we're going to go against Notre Dame tonight. That's fine.
Is Notre Dame a good team?
We got to make it back. Then we're going to make it back to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's been hot. Like, it was really just one more stepping stone on the path to dominance for the Aggies so they can make it back to Oklahoma and try to prove that the other day was a fluke.
What stepping stone was higher? Was it?
Or sorry, 10-2. The score was 10-2.
10-2. My bad. I gave them three runs.
Yeah, you can't give them three extra
runs. Well, you know, it's a school with 6 national titles. So, I mean,
that's a long time ago.
There's the one at Kyle Field from what, like 1931? That's not even official.
It could have been Texas Tech, Texas State, Texas Southern, doesn't matter. Any one of those other teams, it was just going to be a stepping stone on the eventual path the Aggies were going to take.
What's the bigger stepping stone? Is it Notre Dame or is it Texas?
100% Notre Dame. Okay. Yeah, Notre Dame played
Sean,
Oklahoma.
I'm surprised you haven't just tapped in at this point.
Notre Dame played closer. Like, everybody's been talking about this Austin Melendez kid. Like, come on.
Ivan Melendez.
Sorry. See, that's how little he matters. I don't even need to know his name. That nickname,
Austin,
the Titanic.
Plays.
Well, it doesn't matter because Polish sunk the Titanic yesterday, like in a clutch moment, bases loaded. That we're talking about this guy being the best player in college baseball, and he can't even clutch it out like clutch clonch in that moment with bases loaded, and you're down by that many runs. It's just, I think it's a little overblown. He's a little overhyped. It was okay. Real talk, I'll pull back and stop being a little insufferable. It was cool seeing his dad, like. His dad get it because his dad was at the game yesterday. Very cool. And his dad got like really emotional over his last at bat, which I thought was really awesome. I was like, oh, that's a cool moment that his dad, because you think about like now as a dad with a son who's I'm coaching him, I'm teaching him. You don't realize how much time, energy and thought goes behind. And my son's only 11. How much thought, energy and time goes behind just teaching them how to do this and see your son be able to do it. High low. He really is. Ivan Melendez really is the best player in college baseball. I'll stop messing around. But they did. Polish did sink the Titanic. I was really worried in that moment. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's bases loaded. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then the last strike call that struck him out was a little low. It probably should have been a strike. But, yeah, it was a fun game. It was fun seeing Texas and Texas A&M play against each other for the first time.
They need to play each other in more things. Yes, I've agreed. Said this a million times. I
basketball,
do generally
softball, all stuff that matters.
Yeah. Oh, see, there it is. I knew that this was going to come too. That, like, see, you just have like the Aggie hymn essentially from Josh Beer, like about 2 minutes of just like, you know, we're going here, and Sean's like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I knew.
It's
I,
a very UT response.
This is a very UT response. I was actually watching the Canadian Grand Prix Formula One race that was happening at the exact same time. And then it ended, and I looked at the score. I flipped to ESPN, and I looked at the score. I was like, don't have to watch this.
Well, honestly, you don't have to watch any game involving the Aggies until the seventh inning anyway, because that's when the real scoring actually starts. Because typically they're down by like 6 runs, and then they just explode for 14 runs in like the eighth inning. It's weird.
Okay.
I'll pass that along to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We're going to do the same thing to Notre Dame.
Board material.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Steve Sarkisian does with that football team this year, though. It's going to be real nice.
A lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, literally the most room for improvement. Right, which is cool. Like,
don't lose 6 in a row.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, one day they'll be back.
A lot of room for disappointment for Texas A&M this year, though.
Nah, not even worried. Not even a little concerned. You want to know why? Daddy Jimbo's at the helm, baby. Texas A&M's not losing anything with Jimbo Fisher at the helm.
But
we're going undefeated, in my mind, for the rest of my life, as long as Jimbo's the head coach.
Look, all I'm going to say is you can't look at 8 wins the same way, which has generally been what the Aggies have done, right?
Not with Jimbo. Much.
Except for last year.
Except for last year or the year before.
Just saying.
Really, the COVID year was the year?
It
was the best year. It was 2020.
All of those losses don't count yet because Jimbo hasn't installed his culture completely.
Everyone knows you need 5 years to install.
And one full recruiting class. That's exactly what you need to do. It's not Jimbo and A&M's fault that UT keeps running through coaches year after year after year, just trying throwing crap against the wall, hoping it sticks and it all falls down and smells bad. Like, that's not Jimbo's fault.
713-780-3776. I actually am curious if anyone has any energy to go up against Josh Beard and to try to knock the Aggie off of his lofty little
It'll
perch
never
right
happen.
Now.
Yeah.
Or if you guys are just going to keep the same energy as Sean Mapes and be like, whatever.
That's the best way to go about it. But that's the thing. It's like, you can't really talk trash to like UT, Alabama, Ohio State fans. You can't, because all they have to do, Patriots fans, all they have to do is be like, I mean, how many? It doesn't matter. We have so many championships or national championships. Like, you're talking up. We don't punch down. Like, that's the thing that sucks.
Yeah, Director's Cup this year. Is that what it's called? Whatever, all the sports.
Josh Beard's in for Vanessa. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.